the quieter we get in our spirit, the more we're going to hear the Holy Spirit. And the more right we're going to be, the more correct we're going to be, the more in order we're going to be, the more in God's timing we're going to be. Let's study something right quick here. In Jesus' name, we're going to get some info. Amen? Okay. And all that's within me. I want to go back, while I'm on that topic, I want to bring up something in the form of the study of the Holy Spirit, which is tongues. And I don't want to talk about tongues like we normally think. I want to stay in the same vein we're talking about now. In the New Testament, the number is 1,100. It's used 50 times in the New Testament, and this is what it means. Glossa is the word. It means the tongue, and it means by implication a language, especially one not naturally, especially one naturally unacquired. It's kind of a double negative there. I had a hard time with it. Now, you have acquired a language. You've learned to play. But when the Holy Spirit works through you, you play in an unacquired way. See, it is a language. Exactly right. It's a language. Too many times we want to call a certain activity an unknown tongue. And an unknown tongue means one that I don't know how to do. That's all that means. Unacquired. And whether it's testifying or it's praying, you can have an unknown tongue and praying and still have everybody understand you. In fact, an unknown tongue is made for understanding. When you reference the places in the Bible where we call it an unknown tongue, people understood. Okay, that's all I mean. It doesn't mean everybody understood. It just means that it was an understandable language for those that wanted to understand. Sometimes, maybe not even for those that wanted to understand. They just get it anyway. For Connie wouldn't know anything about music. She knows nothing about music. But she recognized the Holy Spirit in music. Even if she couldn't have sung with it, even if she couldn't have played, even if she didn't get goosebumps from it, or whatever did or did not happen. The unknown language is unknown or unprepared language. You cannot practice spirit music.
And she probably can't duplicate it in that sense.
No. No, you won't. And that's our mistake when we try to. I was talking to Bill about how he's learned music. Well, now it's time to do the music you haven't learned.
Mm-hmm. I have a desire.
Well, then you got to turn loose. Bill, you sometimes most of the time, we're kind of one of those mannequins. We have this rod stuck up us, and we can't move too much to the left or right. You know.
Aren't most of us like that in some
way? In some way. We're in our fixed cow path, and we only do certain things a certain way. And I really believe the main job of the Holy Spirit is to pull that rod out and free us up a little bit, sometimes embarrass a little bit, sometimes we're just feeling good and who gives a rip, right? And to us, that would be an unacquired language. It could be standing and doing nothing. It could be just standing here and glowing. That's an unacquired language or an unknown tongue. You can write a song. You wrote a song here for this church one time. Where'd it come from? Well, it's just the way I felt. Unacquired. Unacquired. You didn't mean to. It happened. That's right. It just happened. Showing up right place, right time for the right purpose. That is an unknown language. Everything we do is a voice of God. And yet when it's truly the voice of God, we could not handle it anyway, so it's unacquired. And it has to come out in a way that we didn't plan. Which, as far as I'm concerned, is nearly every message that I've ever given in my entire life is an unknown language. Unacquired ability to speak unacquired words. I left the church one time when a pastor left and a new one came in. And he, amongst being a liar, proven on many occasions, and the lie and truth can't come out of the same mouth, so I can't listen to it. But he would prepare a message verbatim, practice it 20 or 30 times in front of a mirror, even to the note saying, wipe your eyes with a handkerchief. Now, that sounds like spirit, doesn't it? Some kind of spirit. But that's an acquired message. He wouldn't know how to handle an unacquired message. By implication of language, especially one naturally unacquired. Now, can I give you some references here of an unacquired language? Mark 7:33. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. That tongue is an unknown tongue. What did Jesus do? He used an unacquired method to create a healing potion. All I'm trying to say is that one of the things the Holy Spirit wants us to do is break out of a box of, you know, a word usually makes a picture. I think God wants to take the dry erase board and erase the pictures. Say, let me give you a couple of new pictures. And then in the next verse, one after that, verse 35, and straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. Now, we interpret that as kind of like this thing under here being too short and he couldn't speak. That's not what it said. It said that what was holding his unknown tongue was now loosed. He could now speak in a language that he did not acquire. Or he could speak with an ability that he never learned. Jesus didn't just, you know, I don't believe Jesus cares where a man speaks or not. I don't think being able to verbalize anything is going to get you to heaven. You understand what I'm saying? I'm thinking if you're going to help others, you're going to have to learn to speak, whether it's by your fingers or by your tongue or whatever, in a way that you didn't learn to do. Luke 1:64 says his mouth was opened immediately and his tongue loosed and he spake and praised God. So in this particular man's instance, he never could praise God. And this new tongue that he acquired was the ability to praise God. Now, we're not there, so we don't know what it sounded like. But we can read here that the rod was pulled out. The thing that he learned, he now knew something else, a new way, a better way. Once again, in Acts 2:3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. Cloven tongues, the definition is an unacquired language or tongue, or an unacquired ability. Now, this was visible. I'm not trying to squash the idea of this appeared to them and set on them. I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying they were touched with an ability that they had never had or learned before. Acts 2:11. Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. Now they were able to understand something they hadn't been able to understand before. Acts 2:11. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. What he's saying is those people don't speak our language, but now we can understand. So which one happened? Was their tongues changed? Or was the ability for us to hear different changed? Whichever. God did it, and it was an unacquired ability.
Yeah, but the people that listened and heard and said, even the Arabs said that we hear them speaking in our tongue. Therefore, they had theirs acquired, and the other one was unacquired.
I'm just saying neither party had learned how to do what just happened. In other words, they didn't go to school to understand that language. Or they didn't go to school to speak the language, whichever side you're on. However God did it, he gave the ability to hear or speak. I'm not going to sit here and say no to either one of those. To me, if you if you can understand things that you've never understood before. Let's stop there.
Are you saying that these people were hearing other than their own language? Is that what you're saying?
I think I said all over the place. I think I made that so generic that nobody could argue with it at all. I said that whichever way it was, God did it.
So whether the Arabs were hearing in Arabic or whether they were given the ability to understand Hebrew, for example.
Whichever way it happened.
How is it that each of us hears them in their own native language?
Okay. You understand the way? That can be taken either way, Harry. It can be how I heard or how they spoke. It says I heard in my own language.
I'm just getting a little bit too technical here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm trying to give God some ability to move us here. Because I have understood things that I know weren't spoken before. I'm just saying that God can touch my hearing to hear things that I never learned to hear. Or He can touch my speaking to speak things I never learned to speak.
Okay.
The truth of the matter is, I can read that one way, you can read another, and we're not sure what happened. It really doesn't make a difference as long as we give God the glory. Or we give the Holy Spirit the ability to, how about if I give the Holy Spirit the ability to change my hearing and my speaking? And that way, whether I'm in Mexico needing to hear something, or there's a Mexican in the United States needing to understand something, I don't care how the Lord does it. And you know what? Let's be honest. Most of the time, I told you that a bone went out of my throat a while ago. Where'd he go, Harry? How was it removed? I didn't learn to dispel the bone. So even in that, it was an unknown language or ability. That's all I'm trying to say here. There's things, we're such knowledgeable people. You know how good people end up being atheists? They think they can have an explanation for everything. Therefore, before long, there is no God. There's no ability for the supernatural. That's how they get there. They get so educated, they get dumb. They get so self-reliant in their ability to explain and work out that they can't work anything out. Acts 2:26, just a few verses down. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope. How can a tongue get glad? Now, our natural reasoning is, well, you can tell by what comes off of it. Well, nothing comes out of the tongue. In other words, there was some joy, or there was the ability to express joy in an ability that in a way that I've never been taught or I never learned. And the people that had the glad tongue were as amazed as the people that were hearing the glad tongue. I can tell you that Sunday morning, we stood amazed in this service, right? Who was the most amazed at what the Holy Spirit was doing that was not acquired naturally? You think? You don't think I wasn't just as amazed as that as her?
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Everybody should have stood amazed at what happened Sunday.
Everybody couldn't see her face.
I probably didn't see it well either, to be honest with you. I probably didn't. I don't, in those kind of instances, I refuse to look at too much detail, because that can get caught up in that. And that may be a fear of mine, by the way. That may be a fear of mine that God's trying to work with. But I know, I'll tell you how close I got. When you start, what are the eyes?
Windows to your soul.
Okay, if I'm going to look into your eyes, what am I going to see? The soul. What is the soul? In her case, right at that moment, it was her history. Because right here, born again, newborn babe, doesn't have a soul. Their soul is still being created. But whether you listened or not, I started going to an area that she quickly, I knew I wasn't going to go there. I started talking about her past. Did y'all hear that? She admitted, I made a little bit of a joke out of it because I had to back up. At that particular moment, I could have called most of her sins openly right then. Why? Because she was open in her soul. She was totally open at that moment. Yes, sir.
I guess I'm lost. Because I sit back here, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
About what happened this last Sunday.
About?
Yeah, Lisa.
I'm clueless.
Okay. Probably the best answer would be to ask Lisa. Now, I'm trying to be honest with you. I have acquired a lot of terminology about what happened Sunday. Now, am I making sense? You understand what I'm saying? We all have some canned language. That's an acquired language, terminology. And I'm trying to be fair with you. If I were to try to speak for Lisa, what happened to Lisa Sunday was that she finally released to God all of those things that have been hounding her, that she did wrong and she knew they were wrong. And that kind of stuff killed you. You've got to have a release. It's what we talked about with Joseph's brothers. When they got in a real pinch, their life threatened, they remembered their sin that they committed to their brother and to sinners, which is everybody until they're forgiven. They're carrying all that baggage. Lisa, I've been around her enough that she'd been carrying tremendous amounts of baggage. Tremendous amounts, heavy, heavy weight, a lot of guilt, and she's grasping for things. And what happened was, God gave her Sunday the ability to start fresh. I mean, to start brand new. Now, the hard part is for her to walk in that, believe that it really happened. I'm, in all honesty, I'm a little bit like Joseph, and they said about Joseph. I don't have a hard time figuring people out. That's a safe way to say it. I don't have a hard time seeing things that they didn't know that I could see. Whether that be you, or whether that be Lisa, it is not I do not have permission to speak those things. But I said to Lisa, if you remember one of the things I said, I knew you'd be here. I knew this time was coming. All she had to do was just hang in there and yield. And God's going to get her. And he did. Well, another thing that happened to Lisa Sunday is she will never be the same, but if she tries to go backwards, it'll be 1,000 times worse than it's ever been before. See, I'm not using acquired terminology. I'm telling you what really went down with her and what danger there is if you try to turn your back on a forgiving God. He doesn't like that too much. The scripture says you are crucifying Jesus afresh to do that. And if that truly is his son, and it is, he don't like that. Does that, or did you want me to spend more time telling you what happened?
Number you're comfortable with.
That's a cop-out. You asked me a question. All I asked you in return was, did I answer you or do I need to continue?
I don't know to both questions.
Okay. That's as good an answer as any if it's true. I don't know. I mean, it's a good answer. Truthfully, Lisa does not know what happened to Lisa. Do I know? Oh, yeah. Oh, I know what happened to her. And I'll tell you something else. She still does not fully understand what happened to her. She doesn't understand anything technically about what happened to her. She hasn't got a clue technically or theologically. She just showed up here prospecting, and she got sucked in. No, actually, Bill did. I mean, God used Bill, but she was after Bill to get him signed up about something. And she was going to do whatever it takes, which is what they're taught to do, to get them signed up. God had a different plan. Joseph's brothers came to town to get some food, but God had a different plan. That's what I hope in the last month or two we're learning and having our nose rubbed in it, if you want a tough way to say it, that God has a different plan most of the time than we do, no matter what. And it's a good plan. Chuck and Tanya came up here, tears in their eyes. What do you need? He had a cliche answer. He spoke correct English, church English. Correct church English. That's right. Christianese, that's the way to say it. But God had a different plan. Now we're going to find out what that plan is. I don't know how many other people, maybe everybody was touched that day, including me. We could, with Christianese, explain it very well, and we'd still not convince anybody of anything. What Christians need to do is get real. They need to get real. If you don't know, Christians, you need to say, I don't know. I know that a miracle happened.
She was born again.
Yes, that's a miracle.
Absolutely.
Well, I think some things are hard to explain. It's hard for me to explain. What being born again is. And I saw her face. And I said, anybody who could receive her face,
okay,
she stood there in front, they would have understood.
Something happened. That's as good an explanation. So one of the things that Christianese causes is it causes other people to turn you off because they don't understand what you said anyway, or they don't agree with it. So what I just tried to do was say something in a way like I had never said it before.
We don't understand. I mean, what do you mean? I've had somebody say, well, what do you mean when you say born again? How do you explain born again?
When it was used in the New Testament, what was the response? What do you think? I got to go back in my mother's womb? So that what that means is I don't understand what you're saying.
The old spirit was given over to the new spirit.
And the way that was done, the basic way that it was done, experientially, for everybody that's experienced it, is a great weight removed, a release. You can't explain it. You can't point to it. And it's really not important that you can explain it or point to it. Just admit it. Hardest thing in the world for a person that's made it is to admit something changed me. Something happened. I feel different in here. I'm thinking different. I don't understand this.
And I think for each person it's different because we each come to God with something different. Whatever, you know, maybe guilt. Or, you know, Pappy Daniel comes with a testimony. All I wanted was peace in my mind. And I'm, you know, I'm serving hundreds of gods. I get no peace.
Yeah.
I'm told there is one God that can give me peace. I accept it. And it's peace like I have never known before. Now, for most of us, peace, what are you talking about? You know, but for everyone here, we all came for a different reason.
What about one young man, a very intelligent man, after days of trying to sell me some stuff? He got to the end of one day and he said, now that we're, let's don't do any business. I just want to talk to you for a second. He said, you strike me as a very intelligent man, which he was hearing something that I didn't know. Anyway, he said, what is the meaning of life, or what is the answer to all life? I think it was, what is the answer to all life? Well, there's a loaded question. How many years have you got? I didn't have years. I had a response. And so I stopped and I breathed. I said, a good night's sleep. Because this man doesn't want to hear born again. He doesn't want to say bow, kneel. He doesn't want to hear all this. He just wants a good, solid answer. One that he has not heard before. A good night's sleep. And he looked at me kind of funny and I said, when you can lay down at night, eyes wide open or eyes shut, and you don't have voices trying to keep you awake, trying to torment you, you'll have a good night's sleep. That's what you want to seek for all of your life, is a good night's sleep. Treat people right. Don't treat them wrong. When you don't understand, cry out to a God that's smarter than you, and you'll always have a good night's sleep. We need to get rid of Christianese. Now, as she matures, she will, by osmosis, get Christmasese. That too. Christianese. She'll get that. You can't resist it. But what we lose is the freshness, the ability to look in somebody's eyes and say, Holy Spirit, quietly, I need to know what she needs to hear. I already know what I know. She doesn't need to know what I need to say to her what she needs to hear. That is that unacquired, unlearned language. It's strange, some of the scriptures built around these things. Romans 14:11, one that we've always used. Maybe this will bring better light. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Now, the knee bowing would be an unacquired, unlearned, unpracticed thing. Because we're referring to those people that refused God. Isn't that correct? And for that tongue that belongs to that knee to confess to God, what are they going to confess? They're not going to say, forgive me my sins. It's too late. They're going to confess Jesus is Lord, and I have sinned. I am a sinner. Why? Because they have to understand the punishment. God is not an unfair God. They are going to, with new eyes, with a new body, and with a new tongue, they're going to understand that all of their life they have misunderstood. Because they've refused the understanding. There will not be one person in hell that hasn't heard the truth. Y'all believe that? That means they've had probably a whole lot more than one opportunity, but guaranteed one, to make a decision for God or against God. Now, these people have made decision after decision against God. And now, by revelation, they're a sinner and they know it. They've gone against the God that created them, and they see that. They see the way they should go, and now they're sorry. And for one more time through revelation, they say, Jesus is Lord. And it no longer qualifies. What a terrible thing. What a terrible thing. Let's get past that. Once again, in Philippians 2:11, it says, every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. James 1:26, and this is kind of the negative inside of it. If any man among you seems to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, the man's religion is in vain. James 1:26. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, if even last night I did this, and I'm, when Karen told me that she saw a squirrel run out of a tree and grab a high C carton and run up the tree, that's totally believable. I can see a squirrel doing that. But when she said he sat down and put the straw in his mouth and sucked the high C out, all of a sudden, I knew that she had not bridled her tongue and she had deceived her own heart. Now, I'm using a little silly thing to show you how far, when you don't bridle your tongue, you deceive your heart, what that means. But the Bible promises you that exaggeration will become truth. If you say it enough, let me just back up a little bit. Anything that you say enough, you're going to believe. So all I have to do is say the squirrel sucked high C out of a straw 3, 4, 5 times, and now the mental image is in my mind, and that's all I can see. Last night, somebody asked her, you got pictures of that? I said, there is no picture of that. It didn't happen. Well, yes, it did. No, you keep saying it did. Now you believe it. This is not something that will take her to hell. It's not. We're not talking about that. I'm using a little, quaint, funny thing to cause a little bit of fear in us.
It's kind of like children who hear stories and now they think they remember.
Well, and they hear stories and they start having nightmares and they see men in closets. You know what I'm saying. The things that they have seen or said enough becomes real to them. And you have a very difficult time convincing them of anything else. All you have to do is continue to say Jesus is not Lord enough, and he can never be Lord. Doesn't make it true. It just makes you believe it. And the Bible says you can believe a lie and be damned. We do it. Every one of us do it in some way. We convince ourselves of things, whether they're real or not, makes no difference. We convince ourselves of things by saying it and believing it. That's why most Christians think less of themselves than they should. Because they've talked themselves beneath God's talk. All you have to do, Gene, if you ever say over and over what God says about you, you'll never believe the lies that you've heard in the past. You can't. You're too full of truth. But if you say those lies in the past, then you can't have the truth. The truth is not in you. The lies are. Now it's going to be very important for Lisa to stop talking about the past. Very important. Because there's too big a future. Now all she has to do is understand, like you and I have to understand, how great God thinks we are. Then we might begin to think we're great. Well, you know, in compared to God, we're not great, but God never said, compare you to me. What he does is he makes this three-tiered picture. God, man, sinners. That's basically what we're taught in the Bible, right? Man being Christian men, birthed after him, sons of God. And then there's everybody else. And if we could just learn to say that, then we no longer look down on them, we pity them. And we try to offer them. It's like you would find a little kid that was hungry and thirsty. You don't ridicule them, you try to feed them. And if they run away and say, no way, no way, then you say, goodbye, Jose. That's what the other thing, walk in, bring your peace. If they don't want it, shake the dust and get out of town. There might be somebody else coming, but that's not your responsibility. Well, you're bordering on ego. No, I'm living in God's ego. I'm not bordering on nothing. God doesn't like border people. Lukewarm. God says I'm good, then I'm jumping on I'm good. Don't say I'm not, because I am. God said I am. That's what I believe. That's a big fight. That's a lifelong fight. That's a fight to whether you want to believe you're righteous or you want to believe you're unrighteous. You need the righteous person in you needs to win, the one that's that God sees. Then you can look to a person that's telling you, I sin every day in thought, word, and deed, and you look at them and say, I don't. This day I did not. Tomorrow I will not. Call those things that aren't as if they already are. That's what God tells us to do. You want your life to be without sin? Then say, I will not sin. And the Holy Spirit comes in there and helps you block that nonsense. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit comes and touches you when you're touching things you're not supposed to touch. He'll knock you down because you have a will to be righteous. How in the world can a human be righteous? Only, let me say again, I've told you this story before, but I remember my dad did a funeral for a young man, because we were best friends. I was raised with this guy, and he was probably then in his mid-30s. And he never was any good. He never was any good. My parents tried to shove us together to be friends because their parents were friends, or my parents were friends with his. Never did like the guy. Hung around, spent the night, got out of there as quick as I could because Mom and Dad wanted us to. Well, this guy died in his restroom with a needle in his arm. Because he just couldn't leave that stuff alone. He was either selling it to make money or whatever. I don't care. And he was in the casket. And his father leaned over the casket. Now, his father had hawked everything he had to get him out of jail multiple times. This boy had given his dad grief. Anyway, his father leaning over the casket said he was a good son. He never did anything wrong. He never bothered me in any way. And he's sitting there saying these things over his son. And all you could do is picture God the Father over you. It doesn't make any difference how many scrapes he got you out of. He's still saying over you, because you are his, he never did anything wrong. It's a blinding love. It's not a blind love. It's a blinding love. Because don't think that God doesn't see when we do wrong. But we have the blood of Jesus who he looks through. That's an agapeo love. I mean, that's past agape. It's understandable to us. You're going, are you nuts? Pull that sheet back and look at his arm. Because we judge that to be sin. The truth of the matter is, we don't even know what sin is. If it doesn't fit in the Ten Commandments, we don't understand. So we just judge everything to be sin that we don't agree with. But nowhere in there does the commandment say, thou shalt not do drugs. Now, you and I know that's not the way to live. It's wrong. But where can you show me in the Bible that it's wrong? The temple. If you can't think of anything else, it's take care of the temple.
It says to watch out for the sorcerers, which is the pharmacist.
That's true. It really is. It translates into pharmacist.
And pharmacists are drugs.
That's right. Hey, you're not going to get an argument out of me. I know that's not. See, the reason I know that's not what to do is because he killed him. And God doesn't give us the permission to kill ourselves in any way. Now, he didn't intend to kill himself. He just began, he convinced himself that he was invincible. You know how he did that? He's born and raised in the church. And he got Christian ease. And he had everybody tell him what was supposed to happen when you got saved, especially the Nazarenes. And yet his dad was the culprit. His dad would do anything to make a buck. Our father won't do that. But this young man was laying in that casket because of the way his dad raised him. So the way you don't ever get that on you is you say, he was a good son. Now I just turned it the other way. Do we lie to ourselves? Is it all right to look at a son that gave himself and took so many drugs that killed him and say, he was a good son? Or should we have fallen on the casket and repented to God for us causing this? God wants something good to come out of this. And I think the latter would be what should have happened. So I showed you how God looks at us, but I also show you what God wants of us. You can't change his death. Harry R.S. could have never changed Kent's death. But it could have brought life to R.S. And it didn't. It didn't. This is not a game. This is not religion. This is not beliefs. This is reality. I don't care anything about I don't care about anything that anybody believes. I care about their eternal future. It's all that matters. It's all that matters. You know, I don't even care how they say it. That's not what you, Harry. I'm not trying to agree with what the guy told you. It isn't a matter. There is only one God. And I don't care what anybody says, there's only one God. And if you don't yield yourself to that God, you're going to go to hell. And preachers don't want to say hell in church anymore. It's become a cuss word instead of a curse word. It is a curse. Don't get involved with the curse. It is an actual physical place. Just like heaven is. And you're supposed to choose. Do I want to live on the North Pole or do I want to live in the Caribbean? And everybody instantly is going to tell you which one they want because that's a no-brainer. But if you say, do you want to go to heaven or hell, then they want to argue with you. Let's determine if there is a North Pole or a Caribbean. No, you missed the point. I asked you where you wanted to live. I didn't ask you to describe either one of them to me. I already know what they look like. I haven't got time for that. We need to be able to respond according to how the Holy Spirit causes us to respond. Because we're going to meet these kind of things. I know a preacher one time that his wife got a rattlesnake bit. And he was going... Anyways, long story. She lost part of her leg because of that. He was a preacher. He gave up. He said, there is no God because look what happened to my wife. Well, he was a lazy piece of no good crud. That's who he was. I don't care if he was a preacher. You can look at his lifestyle. He was a piece of crud. Now, he's not wanting to bear any responsibility for her damage. That means he's a no good piece of crud if he won't bear responsibility. Went out of the ministry, sat in our house, because Dad was on the advisory board. And he explained to Dad, and Dad explained to him. And you know what? You got two bullheads, both with Christian ease. How are you going to handle that? This is where the Holy Spirit moved on Dad and said, all right. I can't remember his name now, but I will remember what he said. He said, I've talked to you and I've talked to you. Here's the bottom line. You do it my way, and you run the risk of going to heaven. You do it your way, and you run the risk of going to hell. Which is smarter? He didn't declare anything as absolute. But a smart man would not risk hell under any conditions. He said, if you die knowing God, you go to heaven. If you die believing in God and there is no God, you just die. But if you die and there is a hell and you refuse to believe in God, you go to hell. Which risk would you rather take? He wasn't a smart man. He went on. All right, you tried to bring him peace. You don't want it? Shake the dust. Not your responsibility anymore. Christian ease needs to go outside to the outhouse, and we need to get some good old common sense. We need to be able to learn to talk to people with common sense. Common sense is not an acquired language. In case you haven't been outside lately, common sense is not an acquired language. You have to get it from some source other than you.
And it's not very common either.
And it's very uncommon to see common sense. Well, you know what destroys common sense? Brilliance. Education with diplomas where you don't depend on making sense anymore. You just wave your diploma. Am I against diplomas? Absolutely not. I'm not against diplomas. I'm against people believing in diplomas instead of reality. When you walk across the stage and you get your PhD, how are you different than the day you were born? You know what you've done? Speaking of post hole diggers, you've just lost the ability to dig a post hole. You're too smart. You can't figure out how. Because all these equations are bombarding you, and the old idea of picking up this thing and going like this does not make sense to you anymore. So what we do is we go out and rent a piece of equipment, pay $1,000 so I can dig one post hole. Or I hire somebody and pay $2,000 so they can dig a... Now I got common sense.
No. Remember me telling you about this guy I was talking to today?
Yeah.
There was a lady... And a young woman that heard the story, that heard it. And they both looked at me and said, is he crazy? So, I mean, people know the right and wrong, but this man, church going all his life, and he comes out with this statement.
Well,
I couldn't believe it. In fact, I led him to the Lord a long time ago, 20 years ago.
Now he's got a reprobate mind. Is that what you're saying?
That's what it sounds like.
I hate to say this, but sometimes it helps us to meet a man with a reprobate mind. Yeah. Because otherwise it's just a word. It's not real. But I'm going to go back to what she said. Then we can get out of here. I can try to explain what happened to Lisa. Because I'm so wise. I can go to school and get 3 or 4 diplomas, get my PhD, and I can explain it better than I could before. Doesn't mean anybody will believe me. It just means that I can do it better. Or then I can listen to somebody that says, you should have seen her face. Now we get back into reality. We don't have to explain anything. You should have seen her face. If you could have just seen her face. Now this is where we need to stay. We don't need to stay in explanations. We need to stay in revelations.
Yes. Stan.
Yes, sir.
Define reprobate mind.
In my good old country terms, or you want me to go to the dictionary? Okay, believe me, it's easier in my old country terms. A reprobate mind is somebody that knows the truth and now knew the truth and now no longer believes the truth. Now it goes further than that, because what it translates into the walk is that truth no longer affects them. Any truth, not my perception of the truth, any truth no longer. I could give you an example. I gave you an example of this man. May not have been the best, but it was one example. But all I have to do is tell the people, talk about the people here. I'll give you one. I'll give you a Christian reprobate mind that I know very much. I'm not calling this permanent. I'm not the judge of where a reprobate mind is permanent or not. But when you look at Steve Bunder, which you don't know, that makes you innocent. In our church, and in any church, he would teach tithe, he would teach praise, he would teach worship, he would just harp on church attendance, and all things went rough for him. I'm one of the things that went rough for him, I guess. And now, the last time I talked to him, he says, I don't think church is the place it should be. And I don't really believe in tithe. I think we misunderstand that. This is a reprobate mind. Either it was a reprobate mind then, or it's a reprobate mind now. But one of the ways he's affected by a reprobate mind. Y'all understand what I'm saying, right? And for him to say, here's another thing a reprobate mind will never do. I am wrong. Or I was wrong. They can't say that. Not heartfelt say it. They can cliche say it. But they can't say it truthfully, because that's repentance. For my point being that if he looks back and says, I was wrong, it's a form of repentance. If he looks now and says, I was wrong, it's a form of repentance. So he can't say it. He won't say it. Until he looks at God in the eyes and says, I'm sorry, he'll never be able to say, I'm wrong. You understand what I just said? See, if you don't look in God's eyes and say, I'm sorry, that has to reference something. To say, I'm sorry, has to point to something that I did wrong. You can't be sorry for nothing. You ever been sorry for nothing? But you're sorry for something, right? And when you bring that to God and say, God, it's kind of like an offering. You bring it to him and say, I'm so sorry. This is wrong. He says, not anymore.
Hallelujah.
Not anymore. But a reprobate mind is so far from reality, it can't even grab wrong and say, I'm sorry. I'm wrong.
Can't grasp truth.
Truth. That's right. It can't grasp truth, so you have nothing to be sorry about. Only truth will show you, will bring the light that it takes to see wrongdoing. Only truth will shine light on what's wrong. So if there's no truth, there's no light, a reprobate mind is always in darkness. Darkness meaning, that's Christianese. Darkness meaning absolutely no understanding. You are now Jerry Springer. Welcome to the club. You are now a guest on the eternal Jerry Springer show. Nothing could be more hellish. Or what?
Is this Paul speaking? Boy, is that something else. He takes the news and turns it into a...
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah, you got to turn it off. Otherwise, you get caught up in the comedy. If you try to get caught up in the comedy, you'll get caught up in the lies. You got to say, you need to get angry for the truth. Christianese will never say this, but you need to become very angry when somebody's going against the truth. I told you recently I had somebody right out behind this church misquote word, and I got instantly angry. I said, you shut up. I am angry for the word. You are misusing the word, and you will not do that in my presence. And I said, I highly recommend you get angry for the word once in a while. Do you understand? The word is not just truth, it's a person. Jesus said, I am the way, the... And if somebody's going to insult him, then you're going to meet me. And insulting him means, that's what the devil did. Took him up on the mountain and he quoted the word and made it a lie. And Jesus' response was, but it also says. So he fired back truth at him and he couldn't stand there because he can't stand in truth. Reprobate mind. By the way, met Jesus the word. Jesus the word preached to him and he turned and walked away. That's a reprobate mind. And you don't have to be a Satan to do that. You just have to be dumb. Just dumb. You saw her face. Can you turn away from that, Gene? Good. See how God can use that to minister to you? An unacquired hearing, seeing, understanding? That's what the Holy Spirit gives us. Nobody, Gene, nobody can convince me. Nobody will convince you about what happened to her. You have to experience it. You got to experience it.
Can I say something, Sam?
Yes, sir.
I couldn't see her face, but I was standing back here, and I could feel.
You could feel.
I could feel.
You could feel it.
And tears came to my eyes as she walked in.
I'm sitting back there, and I could sense that there was definitely.
The temperature went up 3 degrees from the time she stood up there till
she watched the thermometer.
She watched the thermometer. 3 degrees in that 10 minutes or whatever, the temperature rose.
Did the firefighter show up after
that? No, that wasn't.
Now, that experience God has worked on for several generations. Isn't that what we're studying in Joseph? That time, that thing, God's been working on for several generations. It's not a passing blow. We need to stop belittling what God does in people. It's not an accidental, oh, the Spirit passed by garbage.
Yeah, that's right.
It's a planned thing that God has been working on for generations. When his sister died, God had been working on that moment in that hospital to change him and his family for generations. It was not a... Oh, this just happens to everybody. We need to get that out. It's appointed unto man once to die. Get it out of our minds. There's a plan that God has. And it's a holy thing.
Yes.
And I'm anxious to meet that time because it's a plan of holiness that God has designed. Now, if you want to know the true interpretation of that scripture, it's this. It's appointed unto every man to be born again. One time to be born again. And after that, the judgment. That's what the death he's talking about. He's not talking about your heart stopped. Because God doesn't own death. He owns life. And the keys to that. And he offers to us life and that more abundantly. He doesn't say, offers. Here you go, Bill. Here's life and then death and that more abundantly. The description of when we pass, whatever word you want to use there, is that we never feel it. Look at your Bible. Isn't that what it says? We never, nothing ever changes. Because we pass from life unto life, we never die. We never die. One person that's born again by the Son of God, or by God, by the Spirit, never sees death. The Bible says they never see death. Never see it. When my mom died in my house, she never saw death. She got up to go to the bathroom and boom, she's finished. She didn't even know God took her. No pain, no destruction, no worry, just boom, and she's not here anymore. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's what we are to look forward to. And if we were truly in hardcore faith, we would just be translated. and there wouldn't be any remnant left for anybody to take care of. Wouldn't even be there. We'd be standing around a hospital bed and then looking at a person and then they're not there. And we're going, what in the world? Well, they believed they'd be translated. It's according to your faith, right? We've been so indoctrinated that we believe that we're supposed to suffer and then die that that's what most of us do.
That's pretty much what's banged into my head.
It's banged into most of our heads. It's you know, nobody told me that was possible. I had to study the Word. I had to get into the Word. And finally, by an unacquired ability, that scripture jumped out. They'll never see death. Well, why is that not taught? Why is that not explained? For a Christian that believes the Word, they never see death.
You know why, Stan? The Holy Spirit is not allowed in the churches today.
Yeah.
And they will not, and that is spiritual talk. That is spiritual talk that you're saying right now. And that's spiritualese, if you want to call it. But people are so afraid. The ministers don't even understand spiritual.
No, they think
spiritualism.
Yeah. Okay.
And they're afraid to talk about that, about the Spirit, because they don't understand the Spirit, because they don't have the Spirit.
Well, me. I won't talk to you. Me right now. One of the things that I'm being led through in this is to expand the thinking. Expand it to the point where we'll get out of the fact that unknown tongue is something I can't understand and there has to be an interpretation. I didn't say that was not real. I said it's not the only clothes that the Holy Spirit comes in. And that's our problem. Another way to say that is if the Spirit of God walks in this place and he's not dressed right and he doesn't act right, it must not be the Spirit because it doesn't meet my criteria. And that's what the churches do. In most cases, Jesus himself could walk in this back door and we would not recognize him because we all got pictures on our wall, so he's got to look like that.
When he says, don't be patterned after this present age of world, but be metamorphosized by the renewing of your mind.
Change, renewed. Growing from a worm to a butterfly. That's why you never could convince me just as a worm. I would never sing that. I refuse to sing that from a kid. I am not a worm. Don't try to convince me through song that I'm a worm. My God never called me a worm and gets mad when somebody does. So I need to get mad. Don't call me a worm.
The renewing of mind is where you finally get to the point to where you see things the way God does.
Isn't that great? And I got a ways to go. And the exciting part is everybody in here's got a ways to go. What I mean by exciting is that we got new horizons and new thought processes. And he's new every day, every morning. That means I'm excited about tomorrow, even if I'm not totally looking forward to it. I'm excited about it because I know something's going to happen tomorrow that I don't understand, but I will get the understanding.
The exciting part is it's from now on forever.
And that too. It's not restricted to as long as I'm in this body. I believe that part of heaven, part of the excitement of heaven, is that his what's new every morning?
His mercy.
His mercy. So we're going to be with a merciful God that we, even as translated, changed beings, are still going to find something new every morning, and it's going to be found in him. And we're no longer being thwarted and threatened and lied to with flesh. It's not there anymore. Heaven, here's the description of heaven. There is no accuser. I'm telling you, by Revelation, I read that one day in Revelations when it said there will be no accuser of the brethren. He's eliminated. Now listen to me. If you could just think about it. It's hard to think about. But my mind went when I thought about this. I'm going to stand in a place one day in the presence of the one that doesn't do anything but compliment me, and no longer will there be any other voice.
And hallelujah.
The stuff you had is gone.
And what?
All the stuff that you were told is wrong is gone.
It's erased, which is part of the accusations.
Exactly. Yep. Mm-hmm.
You talk about, if you can get that, if you can fathom that, you're going to be set free right here. Because one thing, light comes and makes you understand why you don't feel clean, because there's an accuser. And then once you get that down, you can say, man, what would it be like if there was no accusations? No overweight, no underweight, no gray hair, no black hair. No sin of the past, no sin of the possible sin of the future. No threat of not enough anything. All of that is accusations. No stinking glasses.
Amen.
Nothing.
That's for me.
No inadequacy. That's right. None at all. None at all.
More than enough all the time.
Let's go.
I want to go to Cozumel. I'm in heaven now. I want to go to Cozumel. There's not enough money. That's not there. I can just go. You remember when Jesus was standing on the bank and the crowds pressed in and he was no longer there? Now that's just a glimpse of what we're going to be involved with. He didn't want to be crowded, so whoop. He didn't call a boat, didn't call a bus, didn't do a light show, just was somewhere else. Why? Because he didn't believe it when somebody told him, you can't do that. He never would believe that.
Having disrobing security lines.
No, because I'm coming through naked. Because there's no accuser to say, huh.
I won't send off the belts and missiles there either.
I don't know. Depends on. Yeah, but I figure I'm going to set off a lot of bells and whistles.
There won't be bells and whistles, but you will hear instruments and you're going to hear the shout of joys of angels.
You know what causes you to make mistakes when you play? Because you don't believe you can do it without it. There's an accuser that says, today, you're going to make a mistake. And you're freed from that, and there's no more mistakes. We fulfill prophecies, what we do. All right, well, let's get rid of the negative prophecy and start thinking on those things that are pure and holy and righteous. That's the thoughts of God about us. Heaven can start here. Why does anybody want to wait till there? All I got to do is believe it starts here. Well, we're 25 minutes past due. You want to talk about me X-ing out songs? There's one I'll X out. Bye, bye, when the morning comes. What? Morning's coming in the morning. They come every day in the morning, right? What are they talking about, this Christianese stuff? We'll understand it better by and by. No. I want to understand now.
Well, you know, when you were a kid and your parents, you'd ask your parents a question and they'd say, oh, you'll understand when you're older. Didn't you just hate that?
Yeah, and I got older and they still try to tell me that. It's the same story, just a different person now. They were wrong. I could have understood it then if they'd explained it correct. They didn't want to take the time. And my parents did not want to take the time to explain anything. So I'm a self-starter and a self-learner by the Spirit. All right. Well, I believe God covered some territory today, just as that little short prayer that we prayed. Reader's Digest prayer. God gave us an expanded version. Thank you, Lord. Father, we do thank you to that tonight. That two or more agreed, we wanted to touch you, and we did. Now, your touch on us changed us, purified us, corrected us, gave us greater vision, greater hearing, greater understanding, and I thank you for that. Therefore, we love you more than when we walked in here. And our intent is to serve you better, just as I know that your intent is to serve us better, better things. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what happened last Sunday. Thank you for what better is going to happen next Sunday. Our expector is soaring in you. We accept your will. As we're trying to study Joseph, accepting your will, we want to be like that.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Give us fast rest tonight. Quick rest. Fast sleep. And be rejuvenated. Excited on fire in the morning. And give us an opportunity to witness, tell people about you. And we'll forever give you praise. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen.